Momentary Respite. Written by 7 Khepri Beatles. Read by Opalsong. Fandom Star Wars. Rating Teen. Relationship Mace Windu, original female character. Also tagged for Alternate Universe, Always a Different Sex, Bars and Pubs, references to the horrors of fighting a war where you can feel the people around you dying, and overall not a sad fic, though. Part 1 of 7 Star Wars Lesbification Agenda. Recorded for Lattice Frames, ITPE 2022. Far away from the tooth-rattlingly loud speakers placed in the back of the room, sipping intermittently on the luminous green drink she'd ordered. The bartenders, a Twi'lek with deep purple skin and a black head wrap with jewelry attached to it, and a pale blue Natolan with bright bands wrapped about halfway down her head tresses, seemed to be immune to the sound blaring from less than a handful of feet behind them, expertly mixing drinks and chatting with patrons at the bar. Dressed in civilian clothing, Mace blends in with the rest of the various current inhabitants of the bar. The moonlight, which someone had recommended to her ages ago, but she never had the time to actually visit. Which was a boon, because right now, she was fairly certain if someone came to talk to her as a Jedi, she might actually throw up. It had been a long campaign, and the losses had been far greater than she would have liked. Logically, she knew that was the nature of war. You couldn't keep everyone alive, and certain decisions had to be made that would result in the loss of lives. But it didn't stop her stomach from turning and her mind from burning, feeling like it was ripping in half as she felt the terror followed by a sudden void as the women under her command died. Her hand was trembling on the glass, and she forced it to still, because not doing so would lead down a path she didn't want to go down. Not tonight. Not any night, preferably. But she had mandatory sessions with the mind healers for it, even if they were getting fewer and farther between as the war dragged on. Normally, she wouldn't be here. There was flimsy work to be done, wounded to visit, and loved ones to write letters to explaining the death of their sisters. But after she had limped onto the transport that was bound off the battlefield and back to the Endurance, Pons, also one of the last off the field, laying eyes on her for the first time in days after they'd separated for the battle, had taken one look at her and firmly told her that she needed a break. Mace hadn't had the energy to argue. Pons, when convinced of something, was quietly stubborn to the end. So Mace had gone through a list of places she could quietly retreat to on Coruscant that weren't close enough to the temple for anyone to recognize her out of Jedi robes, and had ended up picking the moonlight on a half-remembered memory. The music changed to something slightly less deafening. Electro-leap-jump, at least as far as she could tell, though she didn't recognize the instruments. And Mace shifted in her booth, peering out across the sea of patrons. Someone had started up the dancing again, and dozens of beings twisted and mingled in the middle of the floor, laughter and chatter creating an almost soothing rumble beneath the music. She took another sip of her drink, something with a flourishing name, made with some sort of heavy, smoky rum, and pressed her eyes closed for a moment, immersing herself in the almost two bright lights of life burning like miniature stars in the bar. It helped chase away the heavy memory of screams and death and nothingness a bit. When she opened her eyes, she was surprised to find a pale pink Miri Allen sliding into the seat across from her, head tilted and dark eyes looking over her admiringly. Head covering economical black and pulled back into a trailing high tail on the back of her head, secured with a metallic band inlaid with red stones. "Penny for your thoughts?" she asked. "I brought you another drink, if it helps." Indeed, she slid another glass of the pink alcohol across the table, keeping a deep burgundy one to herself. Mace almost told her that she needn't have spent the money since her own drink was already full, but when she glanced down, she found that it had been reduced to a wispy layer at the bottom of her glass, casting a dimmed pink light down the stem. "Ah," she said, setting it aside. "Thank you." The Miri Allen hummed, settling into the synth leather of the seat, and tilted her head. "So, what brings a woman like you to the moonlight?" she said, curiosity clear in her tone. "If you don't mind me prying, you're with Agar, right?" Well, at least she hadn't immediately pegged Mace for a Jedi. Small mercies. She ran a finger over the almost flimsy thin rim of her glass.
"Is it that obvious?"
she said dryly. The other laughed lightly, taking a pull of her own drink, the thick liquid darkening her lips for a moment. "I have some friends in the army," she explained. "It's in the way you hold yourself, like you're not sure you can relax and trust the environment you're in not to be dangerous." Mace raised a brow.
"Friends in the Gar," she said.
"That's unusual," the Miri Allen's lips quirked. "I'm a physical therapist, so I get a lot of clones referred to me after particularly brutal campaigns."
"Your practice accepts them?"
Mace asks, surprised. It wasn't common for non-Gar and offshoot groups to take Vaudet as clients, whether it be due to wariness and prejudice, or because, by virtue of not actually being free, and Mace felt a familiar flare of anger over the injustice, before acknowledging it and passing it on to the Force, they didn't have the requisite identification documents, let alone insurance.
Not exactly, the other said, sounding sheepish. "I'm a bit, off the books with it. It seems to put them at ease, though, so I don't exactly feel bad about it."
Her free hand had gone up to tug at the hem of her head covering, pink against black, a nervous tick of some sort, though Mace couldn't quite tell why. Mace nodded, staring contemplatively at her drink.
"Then you're a better person than most," she said. "As a person close to many Voda, I thank you for your work."
They lapsed into momentary silence, and then Mace said, belatedly,
"I never thanked you for the drink. Or got your name,"
she added, looking back up at the other, meeting her dark gaze. A brief glimmer of surprise, and something more, flashed across her expression.
"Uvetsa," she said. "My friends call me Vetsa, though. I mean, if you want."
She looked suddenly flustered, a deep flush rising across the bridge of her nose and cheeks, highlighting the black tattoos against her skin. One diamond on each cheek, just beneath her eyes, and three black bands across the sharp line of her nose. Despite her apparent embarrassment, though, she leaned forward slightly, forearms braced against the table. Mace smiled.
"Mace," she returned, And then, because she was supposed to be loosening up, offered, "Can you dance?" "Awfully," Vetsa said. But she looked more than receptive, a hint of eagerness curling around her. "But I'm sure you're a good leader." She turned a hand over, offering up her palm, darker pink, with thick calluses, indicative of years of hands-on repetitive labor. It was strangely enticing. Mace finished off the last of her drink and took it, pulling her across the room towards the dance floor, the music and grief swirling away like so much rainwater down a drain, replaced only by the press of rough skin against her own. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!